That's okay. Remember, ADHD, you've got a Ferrari engine for a brain with bicycle brakes, and your brakes will fail you sometimes. And you know, you've got kids running around, you've got laundry to be get done, you've got somebody to get picked up, somebody else to get dropped off. You probably have a part-time job as well. I mean, you've got tremendous pressures coming down on you. And if you're, say, even if you're a single parent, as one of the many of these people are, you're gonna lose it. You know, we're not superhuman.
Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, Mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully and, in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, Mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. This week, we're continuing our conversation with Dr. Edward Hallowell. He's basically one of the godfathers of ADHD. If you haven't, go back and listen to the first half of our conversation with Ned, because, it was so good. We talked about using our strengths, overcoming our hurdles, the power of connection, and Ned did not shy away from sharing his own childhood trauma, which affects the way that he loves on others now. His wisdom and enthusiasm for helping his fellow ADHDers is palpable. So make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of this goodness. Today, we're talking about parenting with ADHD and how to repair when we lose it on our kids. We also discuss how the DSM doesn't cover a major part of ADHD, which is the emotional regulation, and how we can work towards changing the perception of ADHD among others. We're also going to get into ADHD medication and how there is a plethora of misinformation out in the world and what we can do about that. He also shares some advice as a parent who's on the other side and his kids, who also have ADHD, are now grown. Before we jump in, let's hear our review of the week. This one is from Joelle Seuss. She says, "Absolutely love this podcast, and after binge listening, I now feel like I can laugh, relate, and have hope that there's nothing quote-unquote wrong with me and excitement to thrive as a mom in my own way." Thank you, Joelle, for the sweet, sweet words, and you're right, there's nothing wrong with us. We were made this way, and we were born to do amazing things. So let's jump right in with Dr. Edward Hallowell.
So obviously, as parents, we can do that job of loving our kids. That's square one. What would you say?
Don't feel bad, since many of your listeners are moms who have kids with ADD or moms who have ADD themselves. By the way, I say ADD because that was the term that was called when I learned about it in 1981. Then it got changed to ADHD, but there's ADHD with or without the H, with or without right. The hyperactivity. And most women have ADHD without the H. Anyway, just a minor point. But if you are a mom who has ADHD and you have kids who have ADHD, don't feel bad if you get feeling overwhelmed. Don't feel bad if you get exasperated. Don't feel bad if you lose it sometimes and start screaming at them. That happens. Try to refrain from hitting them, because it's been well documented that spanking is completely counterproductive and is just a bad message to send. But, you know, if you lose it, that's okay. Remember, ADHD, you've got a Ferrari engine for a brain with bicycle brakes, and your brakes will fail you sometimes. And, you know, you've got kids running around, you've got laundry to be get done, you've got somebody to get picked up, somebody else to get dropped off. You probably have a part-time job as well. I mean, you've got tremendous pressures coming down on you. And if you're, say, even if you're a single parent, as many of these people are, you're going to lose it. We're not superhuman. We're not robots. We can't program ourselves never to lose it. So what you want to do is be able to make it right. Sit down with your kids, say, "I'm sorry, you know, just like you sometimes lose it, mommy sometimes loses it, and I'm apologizing, just like I ask you to apologize, I'm apologizing, and, you know, I love you to pieces, and I'm sorry," you know, and the kid will be completely understanding. And just like when they lose it, they want you to be understanding. And so the fact of losing it is nothing to be ashamed of. It's being human. Any more than you're ashamed of forgetting something you left at the store, you shouldn't be ashamed of that. That's just the hard part of having ADHD. And remember, there's a really good part that you get in exchange. So try to give yourself a break and try to remember the good parts of this condition: imagination, creativity, big-heartedness, tenacity, strong will, visionary, dreamer, inventor, pioneer, discoverer. You know, the person who invented the PCR test for COVID, the polymerase chain reaction, Carey Mullis, won the Nobel Prize in chemistry. And he has big time ADD. He's passed away, but you know, so wherever you look, you'll find leaders in the field who have this trait. I don't think of it as a disorder. I think of it as a trait. If you manage it right, it can become an asset. If you don't, it can be a terrible thing to have, for sure.
I too am not a fan of the word disorder. Is there a way for us to change what it's called and modify the DSM so that it's encompassing of who we really are and more in that like emotional regulation portion that's just not even mentioned?
Yeah, I propose in my new book the term VAST, variable attention stimulus trait. And so it includes the two key elements, attention and stimulation, and then variable, which this condition is absolutely very tremendous variability, and then trait. And it can be a terrible condition, but it can be a wonderful asset. It's usually some of both. You know, I think telling someone they have VAST is a whole lot better than deficit disorder. And that actually, that term was proposed to me by Carrie Feibel, who was at the time science writer for KQED in San Francisco. Now she's on the national science desk for NPR. But she kindly, she suggested it, and I loved it. So we went with that. As for the DSM, you know, the people who write that, they're not, I can never get into that group. We need them tremendously, but they're major league bean counters, and I'm just not. So you know, I can make proposals, but they probably will ignore them. And that's okay. We absolutely need the DSM. It's a way of agreeing upon diagnostic criteria, which we need to have for the field to make any sense at all. But we don't have to use it. So I often say to kids and parents, for that matter, you'll hear this term because it's the official term. Now that you've heard it, forget it, because it's inaccurate. It's not a deficit. We have an abundance of attention. So it's inaccurate. It's not a disorder. It's a trait. You want to know about it because that's what you're going to hear used. But why don't you use VAST instead, variable attention stimulus trait? So that's how I deal with it. As for the officially changing it, I hope before I die, it's changed. But
well, I think you have millions of people rallying behind you. So if ever you're ready, you could start a petition. I think you'd be well supported in that.
Well, thank you.
So I had a ton of questions from listeners, and you've covered quite a few of them.
Okay.
One I did want to touch on is that looking at our community as a whole, how can we, as people who are willing to share their diagnosis and speak about it, how can we help others speak out about it and then in turn change the narrative of it being a disorder with all the people who don't have it?
Just be as public as you can be. You know, just say, I have ADHD, you know, I prefer to call it VAST. My child has it, and he's the most creative, imaginative kid in the world. Yes, he can be inappropriate. He can be, you know, full of beans. But boy, oh boy, what he's got to offer isn't easy to come by. And just talk it up. Say, he's a handful, but I love the fact that I'm raising this future entrepreneur. And, you know, race car brain with bicycle brakes is a good analogy. And we're working on his brakes, or we're working on her brakes. Girls and women are the most frequently misdiagnosed people, you know. And like you say, you have it, you're lucky you got diagnosed. Mm-hmm. Because most women get diagnosed with depression or anxiety, and the ADD gets completely missed. And if you're inclined to start a CHAD chapter, you know, CHAD is the national organization, or one of them, you be as involved as you want. If you want to get involved with school, that's great. There's a lot of wrong information. So you could pass out my books. You know, my books are very positive, but also very accurate, and give the right information to replace the wrong information. There's just a ton of wrong information. You wouldn't believe, particularly around medication, how much wrong information is out there. I had a little boy in my office not long ago, 10 years old, and I was with his parents. This was a year ago because we were seeing people in person. I said, well, how about a trial of Ritalin? And the little boy started crying. And I said, please, we're not going to do it. You don't have to. This is completely voluntary. But can you tell me why you're so upset about it? Then he said, well, my friend Johnny told me it makes your penis fall off.
Oh, goodness.
Imagine the terror in this poor kid. I mean, he was absolutely terrified. And
I would be too.
Yes, exactly. You know, kids make up these amazing myths when they're young. And this one was making the rounds. And this poor child, I mean, I'm just glad he told me so I could tell him that's not going to happen. But the fact that he believed it, it's like, and that's the level of misinformation that's out there. There's just a ton of misinformation. And you know, and Big Pharma has not been responsible in many ways. And so people sort of biased against Big Pharma for understandable reasons. But, mm-hmm. but you know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Stimulant medication, when it's used properly, is an absolute godsend. Can it be misused? Yes, it can. But almost any medication can be misused. I mean, water can be misused, for goodness sake. You have to take stimulant medication under careful supervision. But if you do that, it's very safe and it's very effective. It works about 80% of the time. In my own case, it doesn't work. Stimulants just give me side effects. But for my three children, it works absolute wonders and has done since they were little. Yeah, my kids, they all inherited my ADD and they're now 31, 29 as of yesterday, and 26, about to be 27 next month.
Well, congratulations. Every time I hear you talk about them, it is clear that you are very proud papa. And
I am indeed. The Lucy, Jack, and Tucker, girl, boy, boy. And Lucy is a marketing executive with the National Football League. Mm-hmm. And she was instrumental in getting the NFL to recognize Black Lives Matter. And Jack is working in my business and living at home with us for the time being. And Tucker is working for a PR agency in Manhattan called Ink House and doing great and getting promotions. And, you know, and those are all great ADD kind of jobs. And none of them is married yet, but that's fine with us. We, you know, they let them take their time, let them take their time.
Yes, there's always time. And to see them flourishing, I think it gives us moms hope to know that you can parent well with ADHD. You can parent your kids who have ADHD well, and that it is possible to be on the other side when they are grown and happy and find careers that fit them so that they can grow and truly shine with who they are and the brain they have.
Yeah, it is so true. And you can't control what's going to happen, but you can lay the groundwork. You know, the book I wrote, of all my books, my favorite, is called The Childhood Roots of Adult Happiness. And it's about what can a parent do that will maximize the chances that the child will grow up to be what we all want our kids to grow up to be, happy, healthy, you know, and give them a life that's full of positive connection, positive points of connection. That's the key. The rest pretty much takes care of itself.
Do you wish there was a way to feel confident about your day? To know exactly where you need to be, when you need to be there, and what you need to do today? I know what it's like to buy 15 different planners and not use any of them for more than a week or two. When you're tired of disappointing your family, your boss, and yourself. Imagine with me that tonight, when you look back at your day, you know that you did the things on your to-do list. You showed up well. You feel productive and accomplished. That's why I created Daily Planning for ADHD Moms, where I teach you how to keep a calendar and organize your to-do list. When you learn these skills from another ADHD brain in super short videos, they finally make sense. So now you'll be able to keep up with the commitments you've made and feel confident in how you're organizing your day. You'll walk away with an easy to stick to 3-step system to keep up with your calendar and a simple way to sort through the giant to-do list and figure out what actually matters. Plus, we have a weekly accountability group so you can ask questions when you're stuck and jump back on the wagon when you fall off. Because you will fall off. That's just part of ADHD. But now you will know how to prepare for that. So if you're ready to figure out your day in a way that makes sense both for mom life and an ADHD brain, I want to help you make this happen. I know August is crazy when we're transitioning into the new school year, and I want you to have the tools you need to start well. So I have a back to school bonus for you. Sign up before August 27th to get 20% off your class. Join me at bit.ly/ADHD plan. That's bit.ly/ADHD plan. It's all lowercase letters. I cannot wait to see you feel confident and competent in how you run your family life.
Okay, well, with that, I would like to do our lightning round questions here at the end. You can just fill in the blank. Okay. The best thing that I've read or listened to recently is?
Liz Cheney's speech before the House 2 days ago.
Okay, I'll have to go look at that.
Well, no, as you just said, I'm not going to kowtow. I'm going to stand up to, I'm not going to lie. And She, you know, she said, accepting the lie emboldens the liar. And, you know, she's an arch conservative and she's just saying, I won't countenance this lie that he's telling. And, you know, she's, of course, incurring the wrath of all the other Republican representatives who are kowtowing to Trump because they're terrified of him. So Liz Cheney is, I think, an inspirational figure. Now, I hope your listeners don't hate me for saying that. I can't stand the division. You know, everyone is entitled to their opinion. And if you disagree with me, please don't hate me. I'm a decent human being, and I'm sure you are as well. Let's agree to disagree.
Very much so. I think more important is to see people, especially women, standing up and being willing to place themselves in the crosshairs for what they believe in.
Yeah, exactly.
What matters, exactly. Regardless of whether you believe with them, it matters that we're empowering people to stand for what's true and right and not let that self-doubt creep in and push us down. So, okay, well, let me get back on I'm not being very lightning about my lightning round here. I'm enjoying our chat too much. Okay, number two, the most boring about me fact is?
I like to lie in bed and watch stupid TV, you know? I call it recharging my batteries. I'll just lie and watch a quiz show or watch Law and Order, you know?
That's a classic.
I like to play golf. It's boring. But the reason I like to play is it gets me out with my boys. And I'm a terrible golfer, but I love the game. It's like the old saying, if you can't shoot below 80, you have no business playing golf. And if you can shoot below 80, you have no business. So I can't shoot below 80, far from it, but I love the game. For me, it's anything but boring, but some people think it's boring. What else is boring about me? A lot of boring things about me. You know, I'm a 71-year-old white male. I mean, that's by definition boring, right?
Well, you've earned the right to be boring by 71. You've done some great things. So I think the rest is deserved. So,
Thank you.
All right. Number three, when I'm having a rough day, my go-to quote, song, poem, book, activity, whatever is?
Call a friend. My motto is never worry alone. So I'll call my wife. I'll call one of my best friends. I'll even call one of my kids just for a pick-me-up, or I'll walk my dog. I adore dogs. I dedicated this last book to dogs, you know, so.
Yes, that made me smile.
I don't have a song, although I was an English major, you know, I don't immediately pull out Shakespeare. I walk the dog. I want to hear a loving human voice. I don't even necessarily tell them I'm down. I just know that voice will pick me up. The dog, for sure. And my friends, my kids, my wife. I'll reread an email from someone who's read one of my books who really liked it. You know, they say how much I helped them, and that picks me up a great deal. It all comes back to connection.
It's one of the best things for us. Okay, number four, don't tell anyone I...
Sometimes root for the Miami Dolphins because my son loves them, even though I'm a 27-year season ticket holder to the Patriots.
That is called love. Number five, if I had a magic fairy wand for one spell, I would?
I mean, I can't say just bring world peace. You know, I have to cast a spell on a person.
Your choice. It's your fairy wand.
Well, I'd cast a spell on the world to bring peace. And wouldn't we all? I do think the more female leaders we have, the closer we'll get to world peace. I just think it's men are more bellicose than women by our very nature. So I think the more women in leadership around the world, I think the closer we'll come to world peace. And nothing against men. I love being a man, but we're better at war than we are at peace.
Okay, last one. My best piece of advice for moms with ADHD is?
Never worry alone. Have a network of people that you can worry with. And never feel ashamed. You're doing the greatest job in the world raising a child. No one does it perfectly. No one, no one, no one, no one. And when you hit a snag, just don't worry alone. And don't be ashamed to tell the truth. You know, we're all in this together. And just reach out and, you know, call me up and say, you know, I just screamed at my kid and I thought I would be better off dead, you know, or something, you know. And you can think the worst things. Just share them. And there's nothing that we can't get through together. Speaking of the we is the human race, but we meaning you and your friends and your allies and your team, there's nothing we can't get through together. Someday we'll die, but until then, it's all about problem solving. When you share a concern, it goes from worry to problem solving. You immediately feel more in control. You immediately feel less vulnerable. You feel able to take it on, and that's why it's so important to have a network of connection. Which you're doing with this podcast. I think it's a wonderful thing what you're doing. You're creating a network of connection, of problem solving. And that is just wonderful. I admire you so much for taking it upon yourself to do that. And you have two little kids, so you're not exactly a woman of leisure.
One day I will be, but not today. Well, I'm definitely encouraging everyone to read the book. I loved it. It was such a positive twist, but yet explaining our brain so well. So thank you for that. I'm glad that is your way to feel better, because it certainly is making all of us feel better as well. And is there anything else you want to share with our listeners? And give any,
you know, if they want to reach me, just my website is drhallowell.com, drhallowell.com. And my most recent book is ADHD 2.0. I'd love to hear from you if you want to reach out to me.
Thank you so much, Ned. I really enjoyed this. And I know that not only just listening here, but I mean, literally more books than you have fingers and toes have greatly impacted the world. And we are so appreciative for that, for both ourselves as moms, but also for the legacy and the world that we're creating for our kids. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your afternoon.
You too.
I already ate lunch, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.